Russ rustled up.
Oh, how is that?
Yeah, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I've had a drink because of you. Just a little one. Just a little tiny one.
Tiny one? Size of a cauldron, is it?
I got literally a little bit of wine I had and a little, this chili thing. I don't know.
Why are you trying to act as if you don't drink?
Because I haven't been used. I haven't been drinking for a while. Not properly. That's why I'm all red. So... this is just going to, obviously we haven't started yet. You're not going to put any of this on.
I might do.
Okay. But it's just going to be audio, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. How are you anyway?
Yeah, I'm good. Work is so busy at the moment.
That's good, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's good. The days go really quick, but I barely have time to scratch my ass. It just goes so fast, the day.
Really?
What have you done today?
Well, considering I've only been to take Sherry back to college today, hold on. Oh, God, I'm trying to, get so many steps. I can't believe this. So I've been in the house, 12,630 steps.
In the house? Oh, my God.
That's about 4.5 miles.
I don't think I've done that all week.
So I haven't done, Made a really nice cottage pie today. That was really tasty. Made one of those. We had that for dinner with asparagus and broccoli. Why am I going to be in this creaky chair? So I made that. It was nice. Did some washing. Helped Sherry with some work. Was it? Casper.
I haven't had my tea yet. I'm going to have it after this, I think. I've got some...
Would you rather? Sorry.
No, it's fine. I've got asparagus as well, actually. Asparagus, sea bass, couscous and...
Oh, nice.
Something else. Yeah, I got it from M&S ages ago and put it in the freezer and forgot I had it.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, so I thought I would kick it off for when the world got a lot better and I was born. So you were 22 when you had me, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I was. Just into 22, yeah.
Yeah. Were you excited?
Yeah, I was really excited. And I did. I mean, I don't know why I thought I wanted a boy. I did. I was just convinced that you were going to be a boy anyway. But, I was really, really hoping for a boy. And what, obviously I got one.
what kind of, I imagine before you have a child, you have an idea of what you want them to be like and how you want to kind of bring them up and what interests you hope they have. Was I like different to what you thought? Because I wasn't the like conventional boy, was I, playing with like footballs and things?
No, I mean, speaking from someone that was a real tomboy and loved football and sports, I don't want to say I assumed that you'd play football, but I kind of thought maybe you would. But to be quite honest, you were like this really cultured child, and I was really, really proud of that. And the fact that you wanted to learn to play like the violin, and I remember I had this idea that I wanted to get you into King Edward's because at the time, this school, you needed either you had to pass an exam or you needed like a scholarship. And I had this dream that you were going to go to King Edward's and you were going to be a choir boy at Winchester Cathedral.
Oh my God.
And I have no idea why, but I was convinced that you were going to do that.
I was in the choir, wasn't I, at one point?
Yeah, you were in the choir, but not quite Winchester Cathedral.
No. I feel like when I was a kid, I had loads and loads of phases and what I tried, and then I kind of thought, oh, I can't be asked this, it's not for me. But, there were certain things that stuck. Like, I've always loved reading.
Drawing. We used to go through these phases where we used to draw these little animals and things, and we used to say, like, okay, draw a leaf that's petrified, or a flower that's really like happy, and then we'd both go off and draw something, and then rate out of 10.
I remember that.
But you used to spend the majority of your time either singing on your bed or when you had your Wendy house in the garden, like that. I say Wendy house, it was like, you know, like a wooden house with the roof.
Yeah, Wendy house.
You used to pop up there dressed up as a witch with your broomstick.
Yeah.
Just singing.
Yeah.
You always loved singing. You were just singing everywhere. And
I remember casting spells on neighbours when they were putting the washing out. Barbara next door in Glad, when they put the washing out, I'd cast a spell on them and they'd like awkwardly kind of laugh and like continue putting the washing out on the line.
You did, and you were obsessed. Even then, you were obsessed with Bette Midler in the film Hocus Pocus, and you used to take her off to a tea that you would stick your teeth out the way she does, and you'd say, "Sisters!" And then you'd like look at them and you'd do this thing and you'd like claw your hands.
Yeah.
Put spells on people. But you were very strange. But funny. You were really, really funny, but strange.
But do you remember like going to pick me up from like play school and all the children would be playing together, they'd have a friend or something, and I wasn't really like Billy No Mates, but I'd spend a lot of time on my own, wouldn't I?
It's funny, I was saying to that Sherazan the other day, because they used to be like the doors where the mothers would wait, and you'd be, obviously all the children would be in the room and we'd wait outside, but you could see like snippets of children like through the glass, and I remember every time I came you used to be running round and round the room at the end with the pink tutu skirt on, and everyone's like, oh bless, look at Russell, and I say, oh yeah, look, that's lovely. You're just obsessed with this ballet skirt.
See, like, I don't want to talk about him load, because I feel like, he's not really in my life or deserves anything. But so my dad, he was very, very macho and very straight acting and very just, you know, loved pints and loved this. So what would his reaction be when would you tell him stories like that of me like being really camp in school and stuff?
No, to be honest, that's the surprising part, because I did, and obviously, like, when you were younger like that, and he was more bearable, shall we say, accommodating's not the right word, but for someone like him, he was surprisingly okay with it. But then, to be quite fair, when I was first dating him, although he was straight, he could be quite camp, and he went through sort of a phase of he'd wear eyeliner, or he was very much into like kind of like dangly earrings and pink shirts, and he could be quite camp. So I think he was very, like, although he was a very sort of macho, like typical male, I don't think it made any odds to him. I really don't. And that's probably the one nice thing I can think about. Where he's concerned.
It's weird how much it changed when I got older, though.
I know.
But so when I was that young and I was camp and things, did you ever think, I think he's gay?
I remember, I mean, I didn't know this till later on. I remember that my dad had thought it and said to Nan about it. To me, it didn't really figure. I was just absolutely, I loved every moment. I mean, I still do, being a mum. I loved it. So for me, it wasn't really an issue. But the only time I ever remember having that thought was when you said to me, you came to me once, and I think you were in...
I know what you're going to say. I was in year three, and there's a guy I fancied who was in year six. And I gave him all of my Pokemon cards, thinking, like, I built this thing up in my head that I'm going to give him my Pokemon cards and he's going to throw his arms around me and he's going to really like me. And he literally took the cards off me, went, yeah, cheers, and walked off.
Like, it's funny, but that literally breaks my heart. That really does.
But I remember actually telling you that I liked this boy. I didn't say I'm gay because I didn't know what that word was then. I never heard of that word. But I remember telling you when I was in year three that I liked boys and this. And I mean, I'm not a parent, but I guess when someone says something when they're that young, it's difficult to know what to say, and it was a different time back then.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it really clearly. I can even remember where I was in the house when you told me, but I tried to answer it in the best way, because I also knew, and you know what I'm like, I read and read and read so many books, and I kind of thought, well, okay, if you're gay, you're gay, it doesn't matter. But also I said to you, because you said it was particularly about this boy, and I said, well, sometimes it's quite common to hero worship an older boy that you look up to.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, it could be that. And I just sort of said to you, if you want to talk more about it, that's fine. Come to me.
Yeah.
But for me, it's never, well, you know that, it's never been an issue at all.
Yeah.
Not remotely.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, we'll talk about that a bit later when I officially kind of came out to you. But so when us two went to Turkey and we moved to Turkey. So for people that don't know, you went through a horrendous divorce.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we both kind of, yeah, it was horrendous, blah, blah, blah. And then looking back now, I think you almost had like a complete mental breakdown.
I think I did.
And I did. Because you, although we're very similar, you, not that there's a right or wrong way of doing this, but you've never turned to drink or drugs, or you've never like gone on medication to help you with this and help you with that. And not that there's anything wrong with going on medication to help you through something, but I sometimes look back and I'm astonished that you never did turn to drink or never did go to doctors and go on medication or anything, because my God, if anyone needed to, it would have been you.
I know. It's that, I think it was just, I think you're right. I did like have like a mini breakdown or something, and I just wanted to get away. And I'd always, you know, that film that I always said, oh, I love the Shirley Valentine film. And it was always kind of the standing joke that that's what I did. And I ran off. But I mean, it was primarily because we'd gone to Turkey on a holiday with a couple of other people, shall we say. And I fell in love with the place, and it was just like, I guess it was like a form of escapism. It was like in the mountains. It was at the time a quiet resort. It was beautiful. We had beautiful view and waters, and it was just like going back in time, getting your water from the well or the spring. And I just thought, yeah. And I said to you, and you were kind of like, yeah, yeah. So, and that was it. We were selling up and on our way. And
like, yeah, I think us two had a, well, not had, we still do, but especially when I was a child, we had such a close relationship. We were like really good friends, weren't we? And sometimes do you think the lines were blurred between parent and son? Because a lot of the time I felt like I was your parent when you needed help and stuff. But and we were good friends as well. I mean, we probably told stuff to each other that maybe a mother and son shouldn't.
Yeah, I think you're right. And sometimes, I mean, I know we've talked about this sort of, we've touched upon things like in the past few years, and there's times when I've seen you go through a lot of rough times or particularly really, really testing times. And I don't know, as a parent, sometimes I feel like, oh my God, you know, I take so much on my shoulders. And because it has primarily all of your life and all of your sister's life, it's been just the three of us, or you know, like the two of us when it was.
Yeah.
I just feel like I take a lot of that on my shoulders and feel like, oh my God, I feel like responsible in a way.
Responsible for what though?
When you're hurt, I mean, I don't know, I just have this idea that I'm there to protect you and Cherizan from all kinds of hurt or any kinds of hurt, and it kills me when I can't take that away. And sometimes I think, yeah, I do, because going to Turkey, okay, I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad that we went for the experience. I'm glad that we went, because people say, oh, you wouldn't have known any different, but we wouldn't have your sister now. So for that, I'm really glad. But then in other ways, I think maybe, yeah, was that irresponsible of me going and taking you and uprooting you and selling the house and giving up my job and everything? Yeah, it probably really was.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it was an experience, but yeah, I think,
I mean, I don't regret us going, because although it was wild and we really had some bizarre life-changing moments there. Too many to mention. I could have a whole series of podcasts with you, the stories we have, but it was just so different. I mean, I was in the school I was in when I was in Southampton. I left halfway through year six, and I was really popular in year six. And then I went to this. I went to this school in Turkey, and they all wore these little like bright electric blue pinafores, and it all kind of looked like an Enid Blyton school, really, like something out of an Enid Blyton book. But the teachers there, it's so different to us, because do you remember that time I got backhanded in school? Me and that girl, what was her name? She had short hair, but she went to my school.
Dilara,
yeah. Me and Dilara were talking in class, presumably in Turkish, because I was fluent. And the teacher, without warning, came up to us and backhanded both of us across the face. And it was just like such a shock to me, because, well, teachers just wouldn't do that.
That really shocked me. And I think that the hardest thing I felt was that, okay, by the time he left, I was fluent. I wasn't, it didn't come as natural as it did to you. Obviously, you were a child and you soaked it up like a sponge. But every time there was a problem at the school or they had to address something, then they would call my husband there, another story. And I'd be sort of standing on the eve, like waiting, like what's happening? And I'd get everything like third hand. And it was really, really hard for me. And I remember you coming home. I mean, didn't they put you in a class like 3 years below what you should have been?
For a period of time, yeah.
Because you were English speaking at first, for that reason they put you, and so you were like friends with children that were 3 years younger than you, and that's a lot in school years. And I remember you'd come home and you'd say, well, we were sitting in the class for like half an hour. I've drawn these pictures because the teacher went out and had a cigarette.
Yeah.
The teacher would just leave the room, yeah, go and smoke.
For a cigarette break, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know, I
left to your own devices.
I said the other day, I can't remember who I was talking to. It might have been Lana. Do you know, I had my first ever cigarette when I was 10. When we first went to Turkey, and we moved, we went to Ankara, didn't we? And we stayed in a house with a guy called Hakan, and he was a heavy smoker, and had ashtrays in practically every room of little fag ends at the end. And I would go into the bedroom and secretly light it. And I'd feel so, like, cool and naughty.
And they were really strong ones. They were, like, really strong Marlboros.
Yeah, yeah. God.
I remember the story. It always sticks in my head that, I mean, you were 11. And I remember, I thought I'd be back, but we lived really close to the school, I remember, and then the office was in the road, two roads down or something, so it was all quite close. But I'd had to go into Marmaris with Murat, and we had a meeting, and I kept saying, we've got to get back. But we came back later than your school had finished, so you came home from school and couldn't find us, and you were frantic. And you were going around everybody you knew, your hairdresser, every person, the Turkish cafes, all the people you knew. And you were asking where we were in Turkish, and I remember, what was it you said?
Oh, I said Belki Odile, Belki Odile. Maybe they've died, maybe they've died. And everyone was just like laughing at me, like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure. But I was convinced that something happened to you and I was gonna be left in this country, like, what the hell would have happened?
Oh, that's awful. Oh, we used to because of the business we had out there. We used to like promote you. We used to put you on that train that went around the village and give you loads of flyers.
I know. Plonk me on it for 12 hours a day, just giving out flyers to people to promote your business. I was only 10. And do you remember?
11, as if that makes all the difference.
See, you, I think now, right now, you are completely yourself. But through the years of, when you've met someone, you have really altered yourself to like make them like you. And I'm guilty of it as well. I've done it in the past. But I remember you tried to be respectful in this little village we were in, and you wore a headscarf, which is fine. And I remember you gave me a lift. I was in the back of your bicycle, in a double seat bicycle.
Oh, that dusty road. road.
On that dusty road, riding down on a bicycle, and a villager walked past and you said hello, and then the headscarf got tangled in the wheel.
Unraveled like this.
And he yanked your head back and we both fell off the bank. Oh my God, that was so funny.
It was so the funniest time, it really was.
It wasn't, but it was.
There were so many funny experiences there.
Yeah. So we were there, was it just shy of about 18 months, was it, we were there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
18 months.
So then, when I came back halfway through year seven, I obviously had to, like, kind of rebuild my friendship and stuff with new people. But we were desperate to come back, weren't we?
Absolutely. And I realised then, because of your schooling, I was worried, because then it was almost like reality hit and I knew that you'd be going into secondary education and what you were receiving there was not enough for you and it concerned me. So I thought, okay, right, this is enough. But you're absolutely right. I do have the habit, and yeah, I'd like to think that now I am myself completely, but I do kind of have the tendency to people please and adapt my personality or things I liked, because then I think, I don't know, it's kind of an acceptance thing for me. I never used to really like myself, so I felt like if I adapted myself and been the best person that I thought they would like, then I'd be accepted.
Yeah.
Which is wrong, really wrong.
It's sad, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of call it like, it's kind of like the Mary Poppins experience. You try to be Mary Poppins, practically perfect, and you can't keep it up. So then the person you're with ends up with this person that's completely different to the person they fell in love with, and they're thinking, what the hell have I got here now? Because she's not how she was in the beginning.
Yeah.
John, of course.
Hmm?
John stayed the course with that one, because I think now I'm so assertive now. There's no way I'd ever go back to being that passive person that wouldn't say boo to a goose. So yeah.
Well, actually, isn't John actually your longest relationship now?
Yes.
Yeah. 2009.
The
lovely
in June. Pardon.
2009,
last...
wasn't it? You met.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the longest date.
Cutting forward to when we came back to England, and I was in year eight or year nine when I was, you know, going through troubles like we all do when we're that age and figuring out who I am, and I had a bad eating disorder and things like that, and I had so many like dark thoughts all the time in my head, and even though you were like my best friend and really I knew I could tell you anything, it's hard to explain. When you coming out to someone just feels like a disappointment to whoever you're coming out to, because it feels like, oh, okay, they're going to feel like I'm gonna have this really terrible life and I'm bullied all my life. And to be honest, back then that's what I assumed my life would be like, because even though it was only 15 years ago or something, times have changed a lot since then. So, yeah, I called my auntie, your sister, Karen, and said to her, I need to speak to you about something. And I went to hers the next morning before school and I told her, you know, she was fine with it. And then the next day I had a birthday party to go to, didn't I? And she said, right, I'm going to see your mum tomorrow. And when you've come home from then, she will have known.
It was just before that she told me, because I do remember... I dropped you off for that birthday party because you were going to, was it Thorpe Park or Alton Towers?
Yeah, one of the two.
No, I knew then, because I'd gone back to Karen's house. No, she told me in the afternoon before that. I distinctly remember
And I remember, it was really a sad time for me, because I just kind of hated the person I was, and I was like, it was horrendous. And I was self-harming, I had a really bad eating disorder, and I was a mess. And then when I came out, I just thought, oh great, this is just another, you know, this is like cherry on the cake of how much more turmoil can I put you through? That's how I thought.
Well, that's so sad, because I felt that, I know since then we've spoken about it, and I do understand your reasons for not telling me, obviously, but from where I was, it was like, at the time, I thought, my God, have I failed? Because it was something that would never, ever, remotely, and you know that, have been a problem for me at all.
Yeah.
It's like, it's no big deal to me at all.
Yeah.
I remember, because I know, obviously, we've come back from Turkey, and I know I was having problems with my husband.
Yeah.
Murat then. But, and I remember going back to him and saying to him, right, look, this is how it is. Russell's gay, and if you have any problem at all with it, then I'm not being horrible, but there's the door.
Yeah, I remember that, and
And I meant that absolutely, yeah. Because there was no way in my, you know, my mind, you, my children are always my priority. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and I've always respected you, but that moment in time, I really remember that day distinctively, and I just, my admiration for you just went through the roof, because I remember peeking outside of Sherizan's window and seeing you sat outside with him on the bench, and obviously knowing what you're talking about. And I was like, I felt sick. And, you know, he said he was okay with it, but, you know, it turned out he wasn't, was he?
No, neither of us really knew that. And I didn't know that until you told me afterwards what he'd said to our neighbours. And that yeah. makes me feel sick. I'm so angry, literally so angry with him.
But that was yeah. so, that was really damaging to me, and really hard to live with someone who I saw as a father figure for a while, knowing that they feel sick living in a house with me. If I felt really uncomfortable in my own home, because I felt like if he was coming out of the shower and he had a towel around him, he would be thinking that I would. Do you know what I mean? Because that's how a lot of straight people, back that a lot of straight guys, especially in PE and stuff. That's why I didn't do it after a while. Would just assume I would fancy them because they're a guy.
Yeah, it wasn't. When I look back to those times, I actually get a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach, because I remember it wasn't a nice time for you or for me or for Sherizan, who had come along then. And it was just very hard. And I remember the amount of times that we hung out in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Just three of us, and we had like our own little life in the house away from him, and he had a sort of separate life where he'd literally come in, have his dinner and go out, and we'd breathe a sigh of relief because we hardly saw him, and it was yeah. nice when he wasn't there.
Yeah, it's true.
But you've just gone, you went through so much at that period. I remember Nan saying to you, because I think Nan was in the car with me when Karen phoned me to say that she wanted me to go to her house, and she had something to tell me about you. And I mean, I knew then what it was.
Did you?
And Nan, I remember Nan having a conversation with you and just going into your bedroom. I don't know if you remember that. And she just really cuddled you and held you tight.
Yeah,
and
I do.
She said, Russell, I love you regardless. It doesn't matter. But what I'm angry about, and she pointed to you, I know that you'd self-harmed by then. And she said, that's what I'm angry about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
No,
but
I do.
I remember
yeah.
thinking how that gave me such a warm feeling that she was like that.
Yeah.
Because I know obviously it's another generation, and I know how I feel, but unfortunately not everybody is the same as me. So I remember thinking, oh my God, that's nice.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that meant a lot to have Nan's acceptance, because Nan, I mean, I've always loved you, but, you know, even now I love older kind of iconic yeah, women. Yeah. And Nan was always like, just someone I idolised as a kid, and I just was like obsessed with her and thought she was really like fascinating. And so for her to say that and say she accepted me, and it was fine, because I did feel like an outsider a lot with my cousins and stuff, and it meant a lot for her to say that to me, because I thought, oh God, I'd just be a disappointment when this came out. And I just
you've never ever been a disappointment, Russ, and I hate the fact that you felt an outsider. I really hate the fact that you did, because you weren't. And I mean, everybody, you know how much your whole family absolutely loves you and just thinks so highly of you. Really have. Do you remember that time? God, that was awful. When I was at my wit's end and I knew that you needed some kind of counselling, and we got referred to, I won't say the name of the place, it's not fair, but we've got referred to this, it's not a clinic, that's the wrong word, what's it? It's like a specialist place where like children, teens and young adults go and they talk about their problems.
Mm.
And I remember there was a specific age group for the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
And I remember we went and we had that appointment and you talked about self-harming and everything. And the man there, do you remember what he said?
Yeah, I
remember sitting in the chair thinking, oh my God.
I know what you're going to say, but I actually tweeted about this. There was the reason I tweeted about it, maybe last year or something. And loads of people replied saying, yeah, that's actually weirdly quite normal. So what you're going to say is when I was talking about self-harming and that I was, it kind of consumed my life, any sharp object I saw, I thought, oh, that'd be good to do that with, because it just felt so good to like kind of hurt myself to get things out or whatever. But yeah, a lot of them say if you're going to do it, make sure it's with something clean and something sterile, that, you know, which sounds...
Yeah, it wasn't even, yeah, it was that he said, but it was the actual fact that he said, why not make yourself a little papier-mâché container and write on it some Russell's self-harming holder or something, so you can keep your clean tools in there. And it was like he was talking about a bloody art attack project or something.
Yeah.
make a specific little holder for the tool that you're going to cut your razor your wrists with.
Yeah, I know.
It was just so extreme. And then when you'd said about all the feelings that you'd had and that you were saying that you were gay, and then straight away, as soon as you said you were gay, he said, well, we've got this, I think it was a twice weekly thing you could go to, and it was ages between 13 and 25, which seems such a big gap to me.
Yeah. I mean, what 25-year-old is going to have anything in common with 13, 14, 15? Like, it's just...
Exactly.
He was saying to me, we all sometimes bung everything into the van, and we all drive up to this park and we play guitar and sing songs. I was thinking, oh my God, get me home. That's just...
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Okay then. Okay, I'll give you a question. If you're talking about mothers and that, so you said I have these expectations of what you'd be like. Because I've gone through quite a few personas. If you look back through some of my horrendous photographs of the hair changes and that.
Yeah.
Was I what you would have wanted in a mum, or would you have, I mean, because sometimes I feel like, okay, when I put on a dress or a skirt and I wear makeup and that, but I am still quite a tomboy, and I do like wear jeans a lot. And then I think you'd rather me be someone that's like puffing on a vape with really long manicured nails and 6-inch heels.
I don't know. That's different. That kind of woman I live for in like a TV show or a film. But you don't want your mum to be like Cruella de Vil, do you? So, when I was younger, I remember bringing like friends over that I fancied, but they would just spend the whole time talking to you and talking about you and saying, oh my God, your mum is so fit. And I thought, oh, for God's sake, I thought I was going to sign us up to that My Mum is Hotter Than Me TV show on BBC Three years ago. But no, and I used to, I've never been like embarrassed of you ever. I went through a stage where I was embarrassed. That's not the right word, but because all my friends come over and like just talk to you all the time, I did think of like, God's sake, why do you have to be so glam and gorge? But it's when I got older. Oh, that's a great thing, and you are so gorgeous and beautiful.
Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you. I remember Jack, when he used to come around to say, oh, get your mum out of bed and we'll have chats and that. And it would be like, I don't know, sometimes 3-4 in the morning.
I know, and when I would...
Okay, upstairs.
I remember, yeah, coming home quite a few times and, 3 or 4 or whatever in the morning, and I'd be drunk and you would get me in your room to get rid of a spider for you, and I'd be so drunk I would just put it in my hands.
I know. And I can remember one time there was a huge spider on the wall and I was frozen in bed staring at that spider, too scared to do anything in case it moved, and thinking, oh my God, Russell, please come home soon, get the spider. But I remember the amount of times that I would put Sherazan, wrap her up in a blanket, put her in the car seat and come out and pick you up from Dungeon or The Edge or something, and Yeah, because I was so worried about you getting a taxi on your own, or you'd be so drunk that you wouldn't know where the taxi was. So I say, right, just call me and I'll come and get you.
Yeah.
And three, four in the morning, I'd still come out with Sheridan.
It's so strange. When I look back now, growing up, and although you and I have always been really close and we tell each other everything, I did hide a lot from you because I was probably ashamed and knew it was bad at the time. And I'd be meeting up with like older men when I'd actually be underage.
See, I didn't know that until quite recently, and I must admit it shocked me, because only shocked me for the fact that I don't know, I thought I was pretty on the ball with things, because I remember one time, was it MSN? Everybody used to be on MSN.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you would chat to people, that was when we had the dial up and you had that awful tone and everything, yeah. And then you had like a lead plugged into the big computer. And you were chatting to someone, and I had a feeling, and I remember I snuck into your room and got your phone and took it out, and I saw that you were planning to meet someone. Do you remember the next day?
But this wasn't from MSN, this was Habbo Hotel.
I didn't know about that. Well, I knew about the Habbo Hotel, but I didn't know you'd arranged to meet someone from it. But I remember saying to you, Russell, you cannot meet this person. They're not going to be who they say they are. They're saying they're your age, but they're not going to be. They could be anyone. And I remember you were so angry that I'd taken your phone. I did it out of desperation. Yeah. And I thought I'd stopped you.
Well, you did on that occasion, yeah. But I was determined.
What occasion?
I was determined. And yeah, I mean, that's probably going into a whole other story to talk about now. But yeah, there was a lot of... it was a messy time for me. And it was different to like now. When I was growing up in my adolescent years, I had no gay friends, really. None. And even when I was 18, 19 and stuff, I would go to UNIT, the club, and hang out with my like straight guy friends or girlfriends. And I always kind of thought, okay, I don't need gay friends. I'm fine on my own. It wasn't until I moved to Manchester and met all these incredible people.
I mean, you've got the most amazing friend set that I know, and I absolutely adore all your friends. I think they're amazing people.
Mm.
But I said it's weird. I was talking to Sherry the other night. Well, I can't think what we were watching now, but it was. Oh, I know what it was. It was Teen First Dates. Is that it?
Yeah.
It's called Teen First Dates. Yeah. And there was this really cute gay guy from Wales, and he was from a small town called Barry or something, and he'd met this other guy who was from Swansea. And he was saying pretty much it was like, not quite the only gay in the village, but it was such a small town that he felt like that, and he didn't feel accepted. And I remember you saying, when you were in Southampton, you felt like that at times. And I said to Sherry, it's so sad that even in this day and age that people don't feel accepted in their hometown.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of people do move to bigger towns than that. And I mean, you know, for one, you know how long it took me to adjust to you going, and I think I cried pretty much for two years straight. Every time I'd phone you, I'd cry. Every time you came and visit, I'd like be clinging to you like a limpet. I've accepted it now. I miss you heaps. I hate the fact that I can't just call you up and, okay, let's meet for lunch. I hate that.
Yeah.
But from an unselfish mother's point of view, I'm just so happy that you're happy and you've just got the most incredible friends and a life that you're happy in. And that speaks volumes to me. That's all I want for you.
Yeah.
So I remember after Martin, and I remember some of my family, because they obviously all miss you, and say, oh, well, Russell will come back now. And I said, no, he won't.
No, and that's nothing. No, and that's not a reflection on you. That's just purely because I love... when Martin died, there was no question that I was going to stay put. I, if anything, kind of cemented me here, because it was a real atrocity that happened, but in such a great city. I mean, no city deserved it, but this city really came together, and I've never seen support and love like it. And
the real triumph in the face of adversity, the way that Manchester all pulled together, it was just
Amazing.
But I certainly never expected you to come home after that. Like you said, it definitely cemented it. And, you know, I know that you've got your second family with Martin's family. And, you know, they're amazing. And I know, you know, I'm so grateful to how much they love you, how good they are to you. And it's a comfort for me to know that you've got them on hand there, you know, if you need anyone.
Yeah, they are a family unit. So if I feel like sometimes, okay, I'm surrounded by friends, but I need some kind of family role in my life, I can, well, not really this year, obviously, but in normal times, I can go and, yeah, go and see them, go and see Fegan.
Yeah, it's a really, really...
And you and Fegan are great pals. You have been for years.
Yeah, I adore her. Absolutely love her to bits. Yeah. She's an amazing, amazing lady. She really is. As are all of your friends, though. They all are. They've all, like, I've never... I don't know if it's... I think you were strong anyway, but I think after the Manchester attack, I think it cemented the bonds even further.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, the loyalty and love you've all shown each other. Like, you're all pulled together. You're so supportive. It's just... It's lovely. You all take the piss out of each other, but that's what friends are like.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, you're...
Yeah, definitely. If are you, I know it's a touchy subject, but have you thought any more about what Sherazan's going to do? Is she going, does she know what she wants to do? Is she going to go move abroad or move anywhere in the UK? Or?
Well, for now, I don't think she would move abroad. I can just about cope with you being a man. She actually said the other day, she said, look, you know, she said, depending on what, I don't know what I'm going to do in my life, but I don't think I could live too far from you. So I was like, I was thinking, oh, okay, fine, that's good. but no, I think, you know, she was all set to go to uni this year, but I think the lockdown definitely changed her mind about that.
Yeah.
For one, the uncertainty, she didn't know where she'd be, if she was paying fees for some course that she wasn't properly doing or would be at home when she was really expecting to be away. I know she wants a whole, if she does go, I know she wants a whole uni experience.
Yeah.
So, and I think also lockdown showed her that she wasn't ready to move away. So I think the plan for now is that she's, the part-time job she's got around college, hopefully she can get more hours with that and then maybe get more experience in the area she wants to work in, maybe psychology or mental health.
Yeah.
So that can go towards her credits. And then I guess next year, if she decides to go to uni, she can apply then or decide if she wants to go. I don't know, maybe she'll go in a different way where she might find a job that she really likes and she might have the opportunity then to do a degree in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She may not need a degree, I don't know. I'm really happy with that. I mean, she said to me, oh, I feel like I'm letting you down. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not just saying I'm biased on my children, but I've got two clever kids, I know that. And I said, you're not letting me down. I want the decision to be yours because I know that I was adamant I wanted to go to uni and you know how I feel about that. I really feel, no offence to my mum, but I really feel that I was coerced into don't go. Get a job, do this, do this, do this. And it was kind of all set up for me. All my ducks were in a row because my mum pushed me into that.
Mm.
And I don't feel that she should have done. I don't blame her now. I think at the time she felt she was doing the right thing. But I probably regretted that for the rest of my life because I love learning. I wanted to get a degree. I wanted to go into journalism. And it's something I didn't do. So I'm very mindful that I've got to let Sherry,
yeah. Sherry is super smart, like a completely new kind of smart that I sometimes like just baffles me. I think I'm smart in a life experience where I've had so many things thrown at me so that...
Never though, I don't underestimate you at all. You're still very...
No, but what I'm saying is like I'm... Because of life experiences I've had, I'm smart in... Maybe I'm emotionally smart, I think I am. But Sherazan is, yeah, she's super, super smart. So bright.
But I think also, because she's had both of our input, I mean, you've been such, I mean, God, that sounds weird to say your father figure. I don't mean it like that. That sounds really weird. But because there's just over a 12-year age gap with you two, so you've been a massive influence in her life. I know you two are incredibly close, and you influence her massively. She really looks up to you and respects you.
Mm. I do to her.
Hello?
I do to her as well.
I know. I love the relationship you two have. It's very special. But I think also because of you and that, Sherry is a real... She's a real advocate for things. She can't stand any unfair play or anything. She's straight there on someone's side, and she's very accepting. She hates to see anybody victimized, or she can't stand any kind of racial or homophobic abuse. You know what she's like.
Yeah.
And I think particular because of what, you know, I don't want to keep going back to Manchester, but because of what happened, that had a massive effect on her.
Yeah, and that was a tough age. It was a tough age for her to go through that, and to have lost Martin, who was like a brother to her, and
she actually idolized Martin. I think it made her want to go into. She's very, very sort of self aware, and she's. When you talk about mental health, the men's mental health, she really promotes that, and I think that's what sort of pushed her into the I'd like to help somebody, I'd like to go into that kind of field where I feel I'm doing some good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she particularly, you know, I think John's spoken to her because I think John would like her to go to university, and I've tried to sort of say to him, look, it has to be her decision. Oh, well, you won't earn money there, you'll come home, you'll be full of, you know, it will get you down and you won't earn money. She said to me, look, I don't care. I'm not interested about earning money. It's about job satisfaction and passion and doing a job that I feel is worthwhile. So I think maybe she'll go into something like that.
Yeah, I think as long as she gets her A-levels and things, and then she has the option, whether it's this year or 5 years' time, to go to uni.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's always such a rush of, okay, I've finished college, let's go to uni, let's do this. And sometimes if you just need a year or two out to gather your thoughts and think, right, this is what I'm going to do, then that can only be a good thing.
It's the best decision. And probably from a selfish point of view also, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I mean, you guys, you know, I've got best friends, but I say you and Sherry are my best friends.
Yeah.
And I know we chat a lot and we have our group chats, but I mean, in lockdown and that, Sherry and I have spent so much time together, and for that I've been really thankful. And
yeah,
I know sadly I'm thinking I'm kind of glad that she's not going to uni this year.
That's not a wrong thing to say. I mean, I think me and Sherry are very close and very similar, and we watch the exact same things, and us three all watch the exact same things and have the same humour. But I think where her and I differ, she's way more of a homegirl than I ever was growing up. When I was her age, I was always loved going out, loved going to house parties and meeting new people and this and that, where she's not really that bothered on that. I mean, I don't want to make her out like she's boring. She's not at all. She couldn't be further from it. But
no, she's not too bothered. No. I mean, she loves her friends and she loves like chatting and sort of catching up with them, which I know has been difficult of late. I mean, she only went back to college today. But she's like you. She likes her own space as well. She loves time in her bedroom, or she loves hanging out with me and watching a film.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, I love the fact that whatever I watch, I know I can bet like 99.9% of the times it would be something that you've told me to watch, or something I've recommended you to watch, or Sherry has. And I love the fact that we've all got the same sense of humour.
Yeah, exactly, like things,
and I love that.
Exactly.
I mean, John and I, like, although we've sort of lasted the course in that, we've got completely different styles and senses of humour.
Mm.
And this is, like I say, very old school, kind of the things that I don't really find funny. And that's not, I'm not being offensive. I don't find, he's very sort of slapstick, Tommy Cooper, the old school comedians. Yeah. I don't really find, I like alternative or very dark or black comedy, things that people would be like, that's really weird, but I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's very dark. The one that you got me onto, I love that, Camping. Absolutely.
You do love Camping, don't you? Julia Davis, yeah. You do, yeah, you always talk about that, Camping, and Julia Davis. You do like that, don't you?
Love it, absolutely. absolutely love her sense of humour.
Yeah, I think it's good. Like, I can almost guarantee whatever I recommend you to watch, I know you and Sherry will love it, and vice versa.
Yeah. Even the thing that you and Lana told us to watch, that was so weird.
The bumhole film.
The lady had the bottom for the mouth.
Yeah, Skins. Yeah. We talked about it on another podcast, but no one's watched it really.
That was so weird. Are you filling up? You've got another bottle there.
But halfway through, I only had two glasses.
What are you drinking? Malbec.
Dark Horse Merlot. It was cut. It was on offer in Asda. £7, I think it was. It's quite. I quite like Californian wine at the moment.
Yeah. Mm. Do you know what? It's weird. Maybe I should try that, because I don't think I've given it a fair press. I always think that if I had to think about a red wine, I'd say that Merlot is probably one of my least favourites. And I don't know why.
Probably because you've had a really crappy Merlot, but this one's really nice.
Is it?
Yeah, Dark Horse is the brand. It's in Asda at the moment. I think, yeah, this one and another one, I think it's, yeah, £7.
That's good. You have to send me a picture of it on WhatsApp later, because I'll forget the name of it and I'll look out for it, because I should try it, because I tend to stick to, and that's probably, I do like Malbec, but I tend to stick to a Shiraz or something like that.
Yeah, I like a Shiraz.
Or Rioja, Pinotage, I like them.
Yeah.
I tend to stick to them.
So what are you, apart from, you know, seeing me and that kind of thing, seeing people, what are you most looking forward to this year when you have your vaccine and things hopefully, you know, start trickling in and go back to normal?
I'm really, you said about seeing you, didn't you?
Yeah.
That obviously goes without saying. I'm really looking forward to few things, yeah. Hanging out with friends, seeing Kim and Caroline and going for drinks with them.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go out, because when Sherry turned 18 in lockdown, so we've always said we were going to go out with my friend Caroline and her daughter and Sherry. And
we were going
over town, have some cocktails and go to a club or something. And I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
I did that with you, and I remember I went out with you and Kim and some of your friends.
Jade, yeah, Lana.
So I'm looking forward to that, just hanging out with some friends. Hopefully, fingers crossed, going to Spain. We've transferred from last year.
What month?
I don't know. Pardon?
What month?
It's, I don't know if it's mid or end of July. Middle of July? I don't know if that's too hopeful. We've got the flights, we transferred, we booked the villa. So we should just have to wait and see if we've all had our double dose of vaccine by then and just see.
Well, when are you getting yours?
Well, they're doing the 56 and over at the moment, so I'll be in the next category.
So you're in the 30s category, aren't you?
Yes, I wish. I really wish. Yeah, no, it should be soon. I guess it will be Sherazans will be the one. I don't know.
I saw something on Twitter earlier that apparently 18s and over will be, well, say over as in like 18s, 20s kind of thing. That'll be, they'll all be done by either middle of May or end of May or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's good. Well, fingers crossed. That will be, yeah. And I'm looking, oh my God, yeah. And obviously, Pride is going ahead. So, looking forward to Brighton Pride. I don't know, have you heard about if Mariah's going to headline there again or not?
I don't know, because, I mean, America is, believe it or not, even further behind us in COVID. They've really, I think it's kind of a state-by-state thing over there, because it's such a huge country and there's so many backwards states and towns and things. So many people's stories on Instagram I see, everyone just kind of all over each other, no masks, and I just think, well, what's going on in that country? But I don't know. I kind of feel like this year at Pride, I know Manchester's going ahead, I've got my ticket for that, I've got my ticket for Brighton. I feel like if it all goes ahead, I think we'll have like like they used to back in the day, like a few years ago, have throwback acts come on, which I actually quite like. They've got like Steps or S Club or Marty McCutcheon, just someone like that. You know, I'd be fine. I'd be happy with that.
It'd be good. I mean, I will be. I haven't. I know you've seen her a few times. I haven't seen her nor Sherry, so I'll be disappointed if I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm just thankful that it's going ahead.
If Mariah's not this year, I imagine she might be next year, because she always keeps her promises. So I just, it's just actually came to me then, before I let you go, I just remembered a memory of us that you might not want me to talk about, but I'm going to. When you first started seeing John and you wanted to impress him and things and get like a nice kind of sultry, sexy photo taken of yourself.
No.
So I would have been like 19, 20. Sherry's out. How old has Sherry have been?
It's really good that Sherry is past 18 now, because I think I'd have social services knocking on the door. It was so inappropriate.
Sherry, so if I was 19, 20, Sherry would have been, what, 8?
You were 19, 20, weren't you? Because then oh my God.
So Sherry would have been at 8?
She would have been... No, if it was, I just met John. She was 6, coming up 7.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. You wanted to, I think it was either for Valentine's Day or his birthday or something, and you wanted to take a nice photo of yourself for him to put up on his desk or something. So I can't remember even how this conversation came up. To be honest, it was probably me. That's how dysfunctional we were. And I was like, "Well, let's go." So we drove out to the forest.
Embarrassing.
And in the middle of the day, in the middle of a hot summer's day, and we stopped and we parked the car and we walked up a bit, dragged Sherazan over the pebbly drive going up to this hill, and you stripped off and I took pictures of you.
No, to say I stripped off, you're making it seem as though I was standing. No, I remember I don't know what the hell I was.
You had a pair of Daisy Dukes on.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Yeah, it was Daisy Dukes, and you unbuttoned your shirt but tucked the bottom bit into your Daisy Dukes, pair of heels on.
I had this. I thought it would look sexy. I had this white shirt that was like tied at the waist with these cut off denim shorts that were all like shredded, and these black high heeled shoes that zipped up at the front. They showed my toes.
And got me to stand there and take photos of you.
I thought I was doing these. So I remember there was a bit of forest land that it had a fire or something, and it was all charred, burnt bushes, and I thought it would look like quite really, atmospheric,
really arty. So you
put your hands there and like look sultry.
But like at the time, we didn't even blink an eye. But it's only until I got older we look back and think, what the hell was that? Like, imagine if the police drove past. And no, saw me taking pictures of his mum in really inappropriately, and the poor little sister on the side of the road in her pushchair.
In a pushchair. What was she even doing in a pushchair?
I think she was asleep. Lucky cow.
Oh, Russell, don't. That's awful. Absolutely horrendous.
So funny.
Do you know what? It's a shame, actually, because when you're talking and then I think, oh my God, that, and there's so many funny memories, and literally there's so many funny things I could think about and talk about. And it's annoyed me, actually, that like now I'm thinking, oh God, I should have said this, I should have said that. There's just so many.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can do another one later on for sure. But so, as well as your copywriting, you do have your side business, Tide Marks Art, which I'll tag in the description, because I genuinely think it's such a gorgeous little project you're doing. Because so basically people ask you to commission work for them, whether it's for their business or for a birthday or a landmark anniversary, whatever the occasion, and you'll tailor it to them, or sometimes they'll give you an exactly. A picture of what they want, won't they?
Some people have a very definite view of what they'd like, while others are happy just for me to take the reins and say, well, look, you know, just take it for a walk. You do what you think with it. You're the artist. You do it.
Yeah. And so while you're on your walks, you pick up little pieces of wood or stones, glass, and just
sea glass. Yeah, interesting shells. Some of them I buy in, some of them I buy off Etsy or eBay if I can't get a particular shade I want or something, but most of them are things I find. And then I just make a picture of them, or someone might message me and say, oh, look, I've got this birthday coming up, can you do this? And I do, I spend so much time on them, and I literally put my heart and soul into them.
You do, yeah, I've seen you do them. I've seen you do them. You really do take a lot of work and pay a lot of attention to detail.
A lot of them are mass-produced, and I pride myself, the ones that I do are no two have ever been the same. They're all completely different. So I don't just, like, choose one, a housewarming, and, okay, I can send loads of those and sell them on Etsy. They're all completely different.
Yeah, they're all completely tailored to that.
But it's nice. It's therapeutic, and it's a change away from my laptop, and it's just something I can totally immerse myself in, put on some nice music, and I work out in the shed, so it's away from the house, and it's just very, very therapeutic.
Yeah, well, good. I love your work, and it's doing really well, and I hope it does even better for you when I post about it.
That would be nice.
I'll let you go now, because both of us, I know, are dying to catch up and watch UK Drag Race.
Is it, can I just say, do you have any idea who the iconic guest is going to be?
Oh, well, yeah, Liam told me earlier. So apparently it was going to be Rita Ora, but it was on the day that she got fined for having that party. And had to pay $10,000, so she cancelled like literally an hour before she was meant to be there. So apparently tonight, it's not even a guest, it's just a Barbie doll that sat on a chair, and they just like make fun of this dolly all night. It was really bizarre.
See, I had it in my head, it's going to be Sharon.
Letitia Dean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought if it was going to be anyone from EastEnders, it would have been Jessie Wallace.
Well, yeah, her as well, I did think. But I was hoping for your sake it would be Letitia Dean.
Yeah. Okay, well, who are you rooting for to win, by the way, on Drag Race UK?
You know, Bimini,
yeah.
I mean, I don't mind, equally, I don't mind if Tace wins.
Yeah.
Because I love them both.
Tace has got the most beautiful face.
She's absolutely gorgeous. And every week, I can't take my eyes off her. Everything about her is absolutely gorgeous. Her figure, her body, her face. She's beautiful.
She put a video on Instagram earlier today. I don't know if you saw it. You know, she loves beans on toast. And she did it at a tour, yeah. Heinz Beans sent her like her own personalised can of beans and ketchup. It was hilarious.
Oh my God. Oh, amazing. I'd love to see Bimini win. I think she's done so well, and she looks incredible.
Yeah.
So either or, I don't mind.
Yeah. So before I let you go, tell me your favourite sandwich and crisp combination. And I feel like you're to blame for me for getting me into crisps. So I expect a great answer from you.
Okay, I have thought long and hard about this, because Sherazan said to me, you can't say loads of options in that. And I said, well, I've got to say at least two options of crisps, because I can't narrow it down any smaller. So I think probably my sandwich, I would say, and I will say on white bread.
Okay, yeah.
I think it tastes good on white bread. But tuna, mayo, with a little bit of diced red onion in it. I love that.
Yeah.
So that's my sandwich, and for my crisps, I would have to choose either Pipers.
I knew you were going to say Pipers.
Cheese and onion Pipers.
You only really find them in pubs, don't you?
Or my other choice would be, you know, I think it's by, is it Real? Yeah, the Real Roast Ox. So the brand is Real, and they're roast ox.
Is the packet's brown, isn't it, for the ox ones? Yeah.
Yeah,
that brand, I don't know if you've ever had English ham and smoked mustard. Yes. In the yellow packet with the man in the moustache. Really, yes. Really good crisps.
They're amazing. And you had them when you last came down, the time before you came down, we went to a pub near us, and I remember you had smoked ham and mustard, and I had roast ops.
Yeah, that's
it. I love them. So, yeah, it would have to be that.
Yeah. You're not a Monster Munch fan, are you?
I am a Monster Munch fan.
Oh, just not pickled onion.
Definitely not. I saw the other day when you said about crisps on Twitter, and you said, because I know that you love pickled onion, and no, do you know what? I've never, ever, that's one crisp I've not been able to have. I used to be obsessed with them, and I used to throw the javelin for my school, and I remember I had a competition, and I came home lunchtime to have my lunch before I was being picked up for this competition, and I must have been going down with gastric flu or something, but anyway, I had them. And I was really ill afterwards, and it's just put me off forever.
I remember that.
Down the smell of them.
I remember that story, because whenever I used to have a packet as a kid, I'd shove the bag in your face to make you feel sick.
Yeah, they make me want to throw up. They really do.
Okay, well, I'll message you after Drag Race.
Okay, we'll catch up on that.
But it's been so nice to actually see you, because I haven't really had a video chat with you in ages.
I know. I mean, we chat, but it's usually on phone or WhatsApp messages. It's nice to actually see you on video now.
Okay, well, thank you.
Enjoy with me.
Thank you for coming on. I love you very much.
Love you more.
And I'll speak to you in about an hour or so after Drag Race.
Okay. Enjoy your sea bass as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Don't forget to eat.
No, I won't. Bye. Love you.
Thanks, love. Love you. Bye.
Bye.